foundation shit, huh? Finally, a nigga on some divine shit.
This the continuation of Lauryn Hill miseducation. With this dissertation will explain the transformation that's currently taking place all over the world nation. Earthquake hit the Haitian, Japan got radiation. Remind me of Revelation, the weather patterns are changing. Icebergs were sinking, heavy floods when it's raining. Iraq, Iran, lower Mediterranean, all over the planet. People constantly changing, ready for revolution. They know what government doing, except for Americans. We the fattest and most stupid. Most depend on a system that don't give a fuck about them. Fuck a Bush, fuck a Clinton, fuck a Hillary. Can't wait for days, people be like, fuck it, we riot. But this revolution, an evolution that's non-violent. Change your reality when you change your mentality. What you thinking inwardly, you projecting it outwardly. And since we lack the knowledge, we lack the power, that's why we cowardly. And when your heart beats, too much fear is inside it. Too busy worried about these secret societies and the plans being plotted by the global elite. But I know that they sweet, and I know they get scared. Every time they hear this shit, I spit over a beat. Cause 85% of the population, they know our sleep. We all awakening, there's gonna be more people like me that don't give a fuck about authority. Scared to die hardly, more concerned about the God inside my mind, that's a part of me. I'm like a love soldier in God's army, and I feel bad for anybody who try harm me. I'm speaking the legacy of Elijah Muhammad and Marcus Garvey, but I'm gonna be a legend like Michael Jackson and Bob Marley. And I don't care if another man kill me and I die early. As long as I don't clean up my head, cause I'm mind dirty. And it's that time for it, time is just a cycle, you can rewind it and fast forward. Life is what you make it, you only get what you ask for. You niggas all these shit, cause you niggas is assholes, and it's ridiculous to a mass flow. They say this shit sounds supernatural. I'm way different than everyone is you wackos. And it's a shame they all sound the same bunch of rap clones. The game is full of lames, no backbones, and I ain't just watching it. I'm taking back that phone. I'm kicking down these niggas' doors like mass homes. And after every track, they be like, you hear that song? Damn, why you had to go and do that song? Went in the booth and like he poop showed his ass off. I just rap from the heart, so I don't know why they mad for. They tell you I'm a hater, they facts wrong. And that's the problem that need to be solved with chalk and a blackboard. They ask me what I rap for. My rap is for the black balls. I'd rather not be godly, but be a crack lord. For the pretty little badge on. Think you only get a man if I ask on. For the man who work his ass off. To barely pay the bills and his life is like a sad song. Since these cats be making wax songs. I don't even rap no more. My shit more like a black horn. And we've been eating this for mad long. So we can develop a culture with good morals that we can pass on. I know y'all listening like daggone. I'm quote Niagara Falls with fireballs like the dragon. I'm David slaying Goliath, Zion trying for a Babylon. Or Adam after ate the apple and God told him that was wrong. I spit that black power shit like I'm Farrakhan. But I'm far from a racist, I got love for everyone. I just know the original man was full of melanin that absorbed ultraviolet radiation from the sun. Cause during creation I know it had to be hella strong. And you wouldn't be able to survive if you was an Albion. But presently we in a transformation. Beginning of a new cycle and the end of the ages. I'm talking evolution of the creative creation. Right now the population is currently brainless. I'm waiting for the cosmic energy to come and just change shit. And our junk DNA begins to awaken. Until that time comes, I'ma keep making these statements. Till my boys come back and grab me up in their spaceship. I hang with the aliens, I think like an ancient. A grand architect, but I'm far from a mason. It's like I'm a part of the Galactic Confederation. The charge is spreading the light all over the nation. And our ancestors on different galaxies are waiting. Hoping to suffer, they went through it and go for Nathan. So I'ma keep giving you motivation. That kill your ego and help your soul take over thinking. Cause we've been living a life full of problems with no equation. And all our spiritual intuitions seem to be slowly fading. It's like a role reversal, melanated behavior like cavemen. And the cavemen hold the prominent positions all over the planet. Like the Geico commercial perfectly explained it. And our environment helps shape our behavior. It's like if you ain't got shit, then you gonna take it. We ain't never gonna have shit. It's money when they make it. Our best bet is to get in touch with Mother Nature. And tune with the earth, consciously connected with the creator.
What's that?
They've identified these receptors in the brain that activate specific circuits. And you know how they say that we can only access 20% of the brain?
I remember I was about 14 years old, telling everyone said I had zero. Just wanted to contribute and be the politics to address some issues. I dropped science because everyone else thought violence. But when I began to speak, it got silent. I found my talent, never became a victim to those vile trends. I found a subject to reach the public, a weapon. A project that could get all out the project. Context that can erase nonsense. Food for the conscious to make the youth conscious. Listen to give them a rhythm that will uplift them. This is a dedication. I pledge allegiance for a better nation. They say that it's I tell them that real is only what you perceive in this realm. Open your doors of perception as well as your word selection. The pen is mightier than a sword. It's a projection. It's more than just a third dimension. See where my rhyme still stands? Once you open up your pineal gland, whatever matters is a matter. I stay up late to find my material is whatever takes up space forever. I remain a poor righteous teacher. Style changes despite of neither. You can't see it, but you can feel it in the sight of ether. I buy my karma, for that is my armor. And this is my dharma.
The legendary Professor Griff with us, and tonight's show is going to be dedicated to Brother Gil Noble and Baba Steve Coakley. Their recent has struck the conscious community kind of hard, so we definitely want to get into a little bit of what they have done. Brother Gil Noble, for those who don't know, he hosted a show for many years, in which that he had the great African scholars on, such as Dr. John Henry Clark, Dr. Youssef Ben Yakinen, Dr. Phil Valentine's, and many others. And of course, if you don't know who Brother Steve Coakley is, he actually was one of my teachers, as well as also he heavily influenced Brother Professor Griff. So we definitely get into that information. He was the first to expose the Boule, who are the advisors to the kings, and the kings being the Rockefellers, as well as also the Ford Foundation and many others, that top 13 Illuminati blood clan, as I refer to them as, Illuminati. They are also called the Sigma Pi Phi, or simply as I refer to them as the house niggas. We got Professor Griff on. Greetings, brother.
Greetings. How are you, good brother?
All right. We're doing well tonight. We're doing well.
All right, I want to say greetings to your listening audience, and I want to thank your mate, the sister there, for staying in touch with me to make sure I'm on point, because Lord knows I need it, man. I'm in the middle of two Public Enemy albums and in the middle of trying to get this this book out, The Acapella Revolution.
All right, what your book is going to detail?
Book is mainly going to detail aspects of the revolution, but dealing with it strictly from a lyrical content and putting lyrics out there and positive vibes and positive messages through the music in order to raise the consciousness level of the people, letting people know how it was done, why it was done, where it was done, what was the motivation and the influences behind some of the lyrics that went out there. Not the lyrics of Public Enemy. I want to let people know that, because a lot of times when I talk about this, people think, okay, yeah, we already know Public Enemy's lyrics, you know, Farrakhan's a prophet, they're not big, you ought to listen to, and that kind of stuff. We already know those things. It's the things that that weren't said that I think people need to know. Some of those conversations that took place, some of those songs that didn't make either Public Enemy's album or my personal albums, you know, so the book is entitled The Acapella Revolution, or The Revolution in Acapella. And sometimes when you hear the lyrics without the music, it takes on a different meaning sometimes.
That's true. Definitely. Definitely. All right. Do you have any of the lyrics on mind in which that you that's in the book?
Oh, well, you know that, of course. Well, I think a lot of times, I'm glad that you asked that, because a lot of times people don't revere me, you know, as a lyricist or artist in that regard. Are you following me? Because they don't look at me as being, how should I put it? They would if they knew. Let me put it that way. So I'm not saying anything bad about the people and how they perceive Professor Griff.
Right.
I'm
well,
saying,
you took it to the wrong one, because I bought your last Asiatic CD.
Okay. Cool. All right. Cool.
And I was pumping it in my very hard, because that was one thing, you know, and that's when people didn't realize, you know, you was with Uncle Luke at the time on his label, and I was like, oh, man, okay, shoot, let me get this last Asiatic, because I know this is going to be tight, because I know Griff, he's going to go in deep. So, I mean, I got it and I loved it, you know what I'm saying? I always wanted to tell you that, you know, so I get a chance now to do so. And, you know, and that was me, you know what I'm saying, appreciating your work and definitely what you have done, you know, as far as getting information out there as being part of Public Enemy, as well as also you being a solo artist, which, like you said, people have a tendency of not knowing, you know what I'm saying? But, I mean, you are, and so I definitely would like to hear some of the lyrics.
Okay. Just to give you an example, we put out an album called Beats and Places.
Right.
And on that album, there was a song entitled Air Conditioning. And a lot of times, people don't understand that we always do songs that are conceptual songs. Much like when you're dealing with esoterics. For example, if you look at the title, it may not mean anything to you on the surface, but if you go behind it and understand and view it in a different way, outside of the box, it takes on a totally different meaning. We know and understand, as well as I'm sure you and the people in some small circles understand, that the airways are sacred. We could go without food, brother. We could go weeks without water, but we cannot survive without air, without oxygen, right or wrong?
That's true.
How have these people conditioned the airwaves? How have they conditioned our ears to listen to some of these vibrations coming through the radio stations that ultimately affect our energy centers, which is our chakras, our aura, and thus shaping our behavior patterns? So we call this particular song Air Conditioning. Now, I think we need to keep in mind, as I, you know, cite some of these lyrics, that we have to keep the entertainment value in it, because this is what I think KRS-One was as the teacher, KRS-One was most popular for, edutainment, educating the people using the music as the medium. So the song is Air Conditioning. It's on Public Enemy's Beats and Places. Now, this is some of the songs that, and some of the things that I've written that are out there, but I'm not revered for this kind of stuff. I'm not even noticed for it. Maybe a few white fans may come up and say, "Oh, I heard your song Air Conditioning." I'm like, "Oh, okay, thanks." But you don't, I don't get that from the black community at all. Probably you and two other people, Black Dot, probably somebody else. Anyway, it goes like this. In this day of pimps and plastic, fantastic crack addicts selling airtimes with gadgets, iPods and MP3s, mega storage DVD CDs for free. Now, can you reinforce the lie? Now, can you pimp my high? 6,666 watts of chemtrail antennas for sinners. like lions in a gospel choir. Like Sly, I want to take you higher and higher. Your subject matter's about bullets and bitches. Bag boys bragging, bits and stitches. You got a writer's block. I'm bringing this shit black like tube socks with new walls rocked. This sounds like the last blast of the last pass. 16 songs, bunch of empty right and wrongs. The same beat, it goes on and on and on and on and on. Kill the repetitive bullshit. No matter who spit this shit, any twisted nigga can do this. A tug of war for your consciousness. Program directors play your nonsense. This shit is like nonsense for nonsense. Old school, we miss. We rock jewels and we did this shit. Stop it. You selling sex for profit. Fuck saving a soul like McDevils is 2 billion old. This shit is old. Listen up to the situation I'm hearing. The heat is on. It's like air conditioning.
Oh, yeah. Now, if they didn't know you was a lyricist, they do know now.
Oh, get thanks. But I'm going to piece that song apart and go into it. And the very same thing.
Wait, you're going to take that and go into more detail and go deeper.
Right, exactly. And I'm going to explain it. But listen, I'm not going to explain it. I'm going to have the information explain what I said, not me.
Right, right.
See, if you look into the song and you may hear some things, you're like, okay, well, what does that mean?
Right.
I'm going to have the average 15-year-old say, okay, well, you can go on the internet and figure some of these things out. So let me give you a link to where this information is. Now let's go study. Let's go. So it's no excuse, because I don't want to appear to come off like this extravagant, kind of deep-rooted kind of writer. I hear cats, what they're saying, but a lot of times we need to stop, press the pause button, and we need to explain them things. For example, I would love to sit down next to Nas and have Nas explain some of the lyrics that he's put out without the music.
Right.
Wouldn't you get a deeper meaning what Nas is about if that happened?
That's true.
How about KRS-One? How about sitting across the table from Chuck and saying, what did you really truly mean? You understand what I'm saying? When you spit some of these lyrics and some of these songs, man, that people kind of grew up to and it moved people to do certain things. What did you really, really mean? What book was you reading? What was you studying?
True indeed.
That's what I plan on doing in the acapella revolution.
Okay. Well, I can't wait. You know, when it's supposed to be released? When you trying to bring it out?
Well, I have to turn the manuscript in June 1st, so the sister's like on me.
All right, so sometime this year then.
Oh, of course, definitely. I'm hoping by my born day, which is August 1st, I'm going to have the book in my hand.
That's right. That's that Leo energy. Got to have it. That's royalty.
That's that lion, man. That's that warrior spirit. Yeah, so you
fire.
Know.
Fire, and that's what you hear in those lyrics. You know, it's fire.
Give thanks.
You know, it's fire, no doubt about it. We definitely want to get into, you know, the deaths or the recent deaths or the recent transforming or passing of two of our great scholars and educators, you know, Brother Gil Noble as well as also Bobby Steve Coakley. What you have to say about Brother Gil Noble and his influence upon you and, you know, possibly even your lyrics, you know, in which that, you know, that you have just dropped or maybe over the years, the influences in which that have come about?
Well, you know something, I'm old enough to know and I'm old enough to say and I'm honored to say that I knew Gil Noble, sat across the table from him on television on a show called Like It Is. Myself, Sister Soldier brought me up there, introduced me to him. Beautiful, beautiful brother. And the story that I've always heard about Gil Noble is Gil Noble was one of them kind of brothers, man. And Gil Noble was smart. He was intelligent. He understood how to work his way through this particular wicked civilization to make money and to live comfortable. Gil Noble was not conscious at a certain period of time. It was Gil Noble's show and him bringing on the Dr. Clarks, the Dr. Benz, and the great scholars. That's how Gil Noble became conscious. I don't think a lot of people know that.
Interesting.
So he wasn't one of these conscious brothers like we thought. He was always in the movement. He wasn't. He was not in the movement like that. He began, later on, he became conscious, because how you gonna sit across from Steve Coakley, or how you gonna sit across from a Dr. Ben or Ivan Van Sertima or Noka Rashidi and these people, and you it don't affect you?
That's true.
There's no possible way that you can sit in front of these men, Shashi McIntyre, Dr. Francis Kress Welsing, and how are you going to sit across from these people and it don't affect you to the point where it changed your life? And that's exactly what happened to Gil Noble. It changed his life. And we knew Gil Noble as a very warm brother, very conscious brother, very inviting, warm-spirited brother. And so by the time I sat across from Gil Noble when I got ousted out of Public Enemy, he made me feel right at home, and he gave me the platform to, you know, to tell my story. But I think at that time I was caught up in the whole spirit of having to defend myself. And even at that time, ironically enough, at that time, that's when Steve Coakley came to my aid. So I was conversating with these two brothers at the same time.
Beautiful, beautiful.
And then the Steve Coakley, you know, I ran with Steve Coakley.
Right.
My whole mainframe, my whole reference point with dealing with the Illuminati and dealing with the New World Order came from Steve Coakley. I always mentioned Steve Coakley in my lectures. On page 142 and 143 of my book, The Psychological Covert War on Hip-Hop, The Illuminati's Takeover of Hip-Hop, I mentioned Steve Coakley on both pages with an actual picture of the brother so that people can see the brother's essence.
Right. Well,
but the brother did a work that's unsurpassed, man. I mean, the work that the brother did.
No doubt about it. Now, before we go further into Brother Steve Coakley, tell the audience, you know, the two books, the book that you have coming out and the book that you already have out, and where they can get the books from.
Well, my books that I have out now, one is called Analytics, and you can get that online. If you just want to go to PayPal, you can go to just use the 7th octave, the number 7, T-H-O-C-T-A-V-E, @gmail.com. You can get that on PayPal. And my other book is The Psychological Covert War on Hip-Hop. And if you want to order that, just use PCWHipHop@gmail.com. Or just call me directly, 678-557-2919. That's 678-557-2919, or just go to my website and order from the website, www.pgriff.info. That's www.pgriff.info.
All right. Now,
the book that's coming out, I'm setting up a separate situation for that. And the reason why I have to do this, and I know it sounds kind of complicated, but the online proceeds from my psychological covert war on hip-hop go directly to my children in case something happened to me or whatever. I have nothing to do with that. All of that money goes to them, my two little ones. I got a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old. Two beautiful young women I'm raising from girlhood to womanhood with the help of their mom. You understand what I'm saying? So that goes directly to them for whatever they need, on top of whatever else I do. You understand what I'm saying? Because sometimes we look at it like, even though you're not with the mom, I'm only giving them X amount of dollars and whatever. And sometimes ignorant brothers use that financial and economic thing as control over the woman and the children. And that's just that's something that we should not be doing. You understand what I'm saying?
No doubt.
So that money, I don't even see, plain and simple. And I think this is something that a lot of brothers should implement. You understand what I'm saying? Because you want the woman that have your children, man, to be free. You don't want that stress on her because she has to educate your babies.
No doubt.
And this is what I'm trying to create. And I know some people say, okay, Griff, you're 50. You just now started doing this? Well, I just now wrote a couple of books. So it's never too late, though, brothers. That's the point I'm trying to make here.
Exactly.
It's never too late. I mean, she know that you messed up. Ain't a problem. Humble yourself. Go back and say, listen, let's work something out, love. This is what we can do. This is what I'm willing to do from this day forward. And then keep your word.
That's true. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Man. All right. Let me think about the fact. The first time I met Brother Gil Noble was actually on 125th Street in Harlem, actually in front of Sarnetta's table.
About, you know how many people I met in front of Sarnetta's table, but go ahead.
Four, maybe 5 years ago. And he actually bought one of my DVDs. So I was like, ooh, okay, man, all right. So, you know, I got a chance to shake his hand and just do a little, you know, talking with him, you know. So that was my first time and actually my last time ever meeting Brother Gil Noble, you know, was actually assigned at his table. Now, Brother,
right.
On the other hand, I've been following him for the last 20 years, you know.
Okay.
Seeing him between New York to Atlanta to North Carolina, you know, over the last 20 years, and just going to lecture after lecture whenever he pops up in town somewhere or around us, you know, in the surrounding area. You know, matter of fact, I talked to him 3 weeks ago, you know, and actually, you know, sent him some finances, you know, because I knew, you know, what was going on with him. And, you know, the thing was is that, you know, he told me that he was doing, you know, I asked him, well, how are you doing? He said he was doing, you know, and I said, well, you know, you know, well, what else is going on with you? You know, I need, you know, some information before I can send you some, you know, something to help. And he was like, well, you know, brother, he said they tried to get me. You know, he was talking about when he was in the hospital. You know, you know, the last times when, you know, they were showing, you know, I think it was the last time actually when he was in the hospital. You know, he was saying that, you know, brother, they try to get me, you know, and, you know, I just let him talk, you know, in order to, you know, get, you know, the information or whatever was on, you know, on his mind and on his chest out. And that's what he was telling me. And, you know, I would just, you know, think to myself, you know, because I also deal with the healing, you know, Qigong and Reiki and pranic healing. So I was just sending, you know, some energy to him, like, you know, you know, be safe, Steve, you know, because, you know, I know that, you know, it's some turbulence times and, you know, there's a lot of things going on, you know, especially in this time and this period, you know. So, you know, it was just, you know, a real blessing for me to get a chance to, you know, talk to him, you know, prior to him making his transition. You know, it was an honor because we stayed on the phone for like about 2 hours.
Wow.
You know, and he was just building with me, just building and going on, you know, dropping information and knowledge.
Right.
He was telling me the shows that he was getting ready to go on, you know, and everything like that. So, you know, I really appreciate Steve and all the information which that he've given, you know, powerful information, particularly the ones on the assassinations of, you know, Harold Washington, who's the mayor of Chicago, you know, on Malcolm X, on Martin Luther King, you know, even on Dr. Khaled Muhammad. You know, it was a lot of pertinent information in which that anybody goes back and check that, you know, check those DVDs or YouTube clips or whatever out, you know, they would be fascinated by as much information that Steve correlates from the various articles and magazines and newspapers and, you know, books, you know, how he show them squalling on themselves. You know, that was one of the most phenomenal things about it, was how he was able to connect the squealers.
Right. I mean, I think Steve Coakley stands, you know, in a category by himself. That's the only brother I know can step off a plane with absolutely nothing, go to the store and buy 7 newspapers and do an 8-hour lecture. I swear. By the end of the day, man, you end up sitting with this brother for 5 hours, 3 hours in the lecture, and then you go to dinner with him, you end up getting on 3 a.m, man, because that brother can put it down.
Yeah.
He showed you how to decode stuff. I mean, like no other brother ever did it, man. Steve Coakley is a serious researcher, and a Dakota, man, for real.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. You know, I know when I was living down there in Atlanta and I first came to one of your lectures, that was back in like around in 96, right around the time of the Olympics. And, oh, man, that was so many, that was some years ago. But I came to one of your lectures. I can't remember the bookstore that it was in. I think it was in right now. It was like a little nice small bookstore. And, and I remember you mentioning Steve even at that time. You know,
right.
So, you know, and you was dropping yourself on, you know, the subliminal messages and in advertisement, you know.
Right.
Breaking down the double cross and Exxon and,
right.
You know, and all this other information. And I was like, okay, all right, you know, he's right. I know that he's following, you know, that same path, you know, and I know he was.
Right.
you know, because he's dropping it, you know, similarly, you know, and, you know, there's only one other brother that I knew who was dropping it similar like that. And, you know, he did like one or two videotapes, the DVDs, and that was Brother Corey Johnson.
Yeah,
know,
Corey Johnson, who sat up under Steve Coakley, right.
Right, who was living down in Atlanta at
Steve
the time. And actually, he followed me back to North Carolina to Fayetteville, and he was working for the newspaper there. And then recently, he just moved out to Sacramento. So me and Steve were talking about him, and you know, and just us, how we kept, you know, getting in contact with each other over the years. You know, no matter what, we always somehow stayed in contact or got together or end up in the same places. You know, so I just knew that it's something spiritual between, you know, actually all of us, because like I said, you know, our first. You know, seeing you do the lecture in 96, you know, so, you know, more props to you, you know, because for you keeping this thing going and getting the information out there to the people.
Oh, get that. I really appreciate that, man. But, you know, like I said, in every lecture, I give credit to where credit's. So I'm not going to take the credit when you come to my lecture and you hear me giving people homework assignments. That's something Steve Coakley did. When you come to my lecture and you see me decoding certain things, that's something that Steve Coakley taught me how to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I can't take credit for that. When I knew nothing about symbolism, when I knew nothing about New World Order, when I knew nothing about these 13 bloodlines, these 13 families, and who the Rockefellers were, and the Rothschilds, and all these people that's running things, it was like that. This information was coming directly from him, his mouth to my ears, because I sat up under him and traveled with the brother. Not as extensively as I would like to have, but nonetheless, you know, that was my friend, and I sat up under him and learned these things, and that kind of stuff sticks with you. There's no way that you're gonna run with Steve Coakley and this stuff not stick with you. You can pick up the average paper and you can decode even when you don't want to. If you sit in front of the TV or go to the movies, you're going to decode even if you don't want to, because this is just what you've been taught.
True.
All right.
Oh, boy. No doubt, because Steve dropped so much information too. I mean, I know one of the last time I seen him was probably at A&T in Greensboro, North Carolina. And, man, that room was packed. I mean, packed. I didn't even know so many people in North Carolina knew about, you know, the Illuminati. You know, I was amazed, you know, that that the college campus had that, because I know, like, when, you know, I tried to, you know, when I brought you down to FSU, you
know,
State University back in the days, you know, it wasn't a fantastic show. You know, we had probably about maybe 50 people or so. And, you know, and I was like, oh, come on. You know, but I know that it was being sabotaged, because I know that the flyers, when we went back to look for the flyers, they was taken down. You know, so
yeah,
we knew that there was a lot of...
Something strange happened that day, if you remember.
Stuff in order to go pick them up, and I come back, and y'all was telling me that the lights went out, you know.
Right.
But when we was coming back down the street, the lights was out all on that whole side, you know. Was out, you know. So there's a whole lot of strange stuff going on, you know. So yeah, no doubt about it, You know, so that just goes to show, you know, how... Go ahead.
No, go on.
No, I'm just saying that just goes to show how these forces don't want this information out. But, I mean, we still prevailed. We still did it, you know, and, you know, I still appreciate you. And I think we still got that DVD. Brother did give me the DVD, you know, and I always wanted to get it to you. But I know that right afterwards, not too, you know, I think you had the fire, you know, and everything. And so we didn't never get a chance to get it to you. So, you know, we definitely still want to definitely get that to you, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully I'll be able to see face to face. You'll be able to pass that on to me.
Okay.
So what else is on the agenda?
Well, I mean, you know, whatever you want to talk about. I know you want to go into the current events. I know you want to get into the Trayvon Martin information and possibly some other, entertainers or celebrity deaths in which that had definitely taken place here recently, such as Whitney Houston, and your thoughts on that.
Well, before Whitney Houston, I think we do have to acknowledge the fact that there's some people that have been that have passed on and transitioned recently. That I think if we don't at least lend a few minutes to get the people that's listening to understand and really truly not get it confused and twisted with what Professor Griff made mention to in reference to human and blood sacrifice. Some people, brothers and sisters, just die. Heart attack, stroke, whatever. But when you find a large majority of black people, especially in the entertainment arena, dying in close proximity, and some similarities that connect the people, you have to take your mind out of the norm. You have to take your mind out of conspiracy theory. You have to sit your behind down and say, now wait a minute. This sounds eerily familiar to how the last three people died. You understand what I'm saying? And then you have to calm your spirit down and call on whatever deity or ancestor you need to call on with inside you to give you some kind of insight on what's going on with our people. That is what I did. So when I put the information out there in reference to human blood sacrifice, I mentioned Shakir Stewart, who took on the VP role and then the president role, I believe, Def Jam, pardon me, after Jay-Z. There were some strange circumstances surrounding the brother's death. I mentioned Pimp C. I mentioned Aaliyah. I mentioned Biggie. I mentioned Tupac. I mentioned Left Eye. And as I went on and on, people were saying, that brother is crazy. You mean to tell me so-and-so sacrificed so-and-so? So-and-so did the human blood sacrifice and sacrificed so-and-so. So-and-so sacrificed his mom. This one sacrificed his wife. And I'm like, come on, y'all. Let's not get crazy with it, but let's just think. If the Godfather of soul, can I just speak real frankly? Is that cool? Is that all right with you, brother?
Yeah, no doubt. Please do.
Oh, okay. I didn't know whether you had restrictions or whatever. So just, if I could just speak real bold and frankly.
Yeah.
If the Godfather of Soul, James Brown, is married to a white woman, and what James Brown gave to black people in reference to the whole idea of the soul, you and I know, studying ancient comedic sciences, understanding metaphysics, we understand what the soul is. We ain't got time to go into it now, but study what the soul is, brothers and sisters, and why James Brown's vibration and his music and his legacy is so important. So important that you do not die and leave that in the hands of your open enemy. I can say the same thing about Don Cornelius. How in the hell you going to have Soul Train, the hippest trip in America, for all of these years, all right, keeping black people in tune with what's going on across the country with black entertainers and artists and this kind of thing, and presenting and breaking some groups like Public Enemy, who was on Soul Train? How are you going to have that? Then you turn around and you marry a white woman once again, and you Satan gave us, all right, in the way of spirit, in the way of dance, and music, and tradition, and this kind of thing, regardless of what you thought of the brother. Something that Michael Jackson said in one of his songs moved you almost to tears, brought you behind on the dance floor. You had good times listening to Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5. You had sad times. Regardless of what it did for you, it raised our character at least one iota. We have to give the brother that much credit. We may not understand some of the other things that he did, but how in the hell Michael Jackson is going to die? And then now when you look at who's handling the foundation, it fell back into the hands of his two white children who will benefit probably more than anybody and now being controlled by our open enemy. How in the hell? Do I need to go on, brother? You follow what I'm saying?
But please do. You don't have to, but please do.
How in the hell are we going to sit back and you call Professor Griff crazy, but when I point out the human blood sacrifice and we're talking about Vesta Williams? How in the hell can we sit back and listen to that beautiful sister and her beautiful voice and she end up in the hotel dying of a drug overdose like Pimp C? And you don't think something is up. You don't think to go look into it to see what happened. Where's the independent investigation? So now, I'm just, Bill, how are we not going to listen to Dr. Sabi, Dr. Leola Africa, Queen Afua, Dr. Lalani, Dr. Whitaker, and a few other doctors I can mention dealing with holistic health? And then you turn around and we have somebody like Heavy D drop dead. Come on, man. Bernie Mac drop dead. Etta James drop dead. We don't know enough about health in 2012 to stay alive? Come on, man. Listen. My drunk-ass Uncle Leroy, who lives in St. Louis, he been smoking and drinking ever since I've known him. And you mean to tell me he's still alive, but someone with $200 billion in the damn bank like Steve Jobs, you dying at 56, 57 years old? Something is going wrong. You understand what I'm saying?
No doubt about it.
I'm saying to you, I'm saying all of this, that if it's dealing with the soul, then maybe we need to look into the soul. And then I'm saying all that to say this. What is it about the death of Whitney Houston that them people were partying right downstairs, man, and her body laid upstairs for 14 hours? I don't have time to go into the numerology. But her body laid there for 14 hours. They said they found her submerged under the water. So much so that the water was coming through the floor and spilling to the place downstairs. And then, I don't want to reveal this particular gentleman's name. I'm going to reveal it this Saturday in a lecture that I'm doing in Greensboro, North Carolina. But there was a gentleman that was there at the death of Michael Jackson, and this same gentleman, I'm going to reveal a picture of the gentleman. I'm going to show you. I'm going to tell you his name on Saturday, because I want to show the people who these people are, that we need to demystify these people. The same gentleman was at in the hotel where Whitney Houston died. So he was there at the Michael Jackson death. Now he's there at the Whitney Houston thing. We're doing research now to find out where else was this particular child, and who is he? I have pictures of him, Michael Jackson, sitting with one of the prime ministers of Israel. And that's kind of deep for us to go into, because we're trying to figure out whether he's Mossad, MI5, MI6, KGB, or whatever, or CIA. This thing is a lot deeper than what people think it is, man.
No doubt about it.
And we need to understand that, you know, to that degree, and stop belittling it and stop writing it off as conspiracy theory. Because you have to look at it. Well, was this stuff done before? Was this kind of behavior during the turbulent 60s? Was this kind of stuff pulled off before, poisoning people and this kind of? Hell yeah, America has a history. Okay, since I'm the Minister of Information, let me prove that, man. If you that little window right there and pull up a new window. Go to your search engine and pull up America's Greatest Hits. When you pull up America's Greatest Hits, there's a list that it'll give you. Now, this is by Kenny Anderson. It's in a book called Land of Hypocrisy. I had it in my book, the first draft of my book, The Psychological Covert War on Hip-Hop, but I took it out of the book and I reduced it for copyright. I didn't want to get caught up in this copyright infringement thing. But it says the following is a partial list of atrocities, massacres, murders, and injuries in the recent history for which the United States government is held directly responsible. Before I read you some of these things on this list, on today's news, I'm sorry to get so passionate and so amped, man. The LA Times reported and showed you pictures of U.S. servicemen posing with dead bodies. When I first seen it, and the people were coming on, and then they had some guy from the military basically coming on and trying to do a cleanup job, trying to fix it, to come up with our servicemen, the good servicemen that are protecting our way of life in these foreign countries. This is not our policy. This is not the United States and the Marine Corps policy. We don't do things like that, and they'll be reprimanded, and yada, yada, yada. We will stop lying, cracker. This is what y'all always have done. Recently, there's pictures on the net with U.S. servicemen pissing and urinating on dead bodies. Recently, U.S. servicemen burned the Holy Quran. Recently, U.S. servicemen went in and killed an entire Afghan family. So don't tell me, cracker, that you just started doing this and this is an isolated incident. No, the hell it's not. You've always done this. I can even roll your mind back to a book called Without Sanctuary, where the same people took pictures next to hanging black dead bodies. Do you remember, good brother?
That's right. That's right.
After burning the bodies and cutting off their penises,
yeah,
taking them over souvenirs.
Right, if I ain't mistaken, even little George Bush was seen in one of the photos.
Thank you. So don't try to play it off like this is something that is an isolated incident and y'all don't do this. Y'all always have done this. So America's Greatest Hits. 3 million people, 3 million Vietnamese murdered over the course of 30 years of U.S. aggression in the Vietnam, Southeast Asia. Well over 300,000 Japanese were massacred when the U.S. raided Tokyo and dropped nuclear bombs on the urban civilian areas of Nagasaki and Hiroshima. 600,000 civilians were killed in Cambodia by U.S. bombing between 1969 and 1975. Brother, this list is extensive. Pages upon pages of covert operations of the United States government aggression in foreign lands. This war on terrorism thing is not new. 500 years of European behavior. Killing, maiming, raping, robbing, pillaging. Murderous mindset and spirit. I'm skipping now. 23,000 people were slaughtered in Taiwan by U.S.-backed, trained, equipped, and funded forces. Moving down to 700,000 Indonesians, mostly landless peasants, were murdered in 1965 when the United States armed and supported a general there to murder and assassinate at will. It says 45,000 people were killed in South Lebanon since 1982 by Israel, always armed and supported by the United States government. Now let's bring it on home. The MOVE organization in Philadelphia bombed. I'm talking about not your firecracker bomb. I ain't talking about some C4 bombs. I'm talking about deadly and high explosives that they threw over the MOVE organization and dropped the bomb. Do you remember General Torrijos, who died in a plane crash, who was a general to Noriega? So when they went down into Panama to get Noriega, right?
Right.
They went into the black neighborhood, and they used these sophisticated weapons that heated the inside of black people's body and burned you from the inside shell of your body intact. Stop that, man. When we watch the news, the Indians said it right. The Native American, pardon me, the Native Americans said it right. These bastards speak with forked tongues.
No doubt about it.
Because they know how to spin a story and get you to believe some madness, and you start feeling sorry not for the victim, but for the perpetrator. Talking about defending your way of life. How you gonna defend my way of life and you murdering people? But anyway, so when we talk about what's going on, when we bring it home, and then we look at the mindset of what happened with our good brother Trayvon Martin, if you keep it in historical context, it doesn't sound so far-fetched for him to profile Trayvon Martin, damn near track the brother while he's on the phone with the 911 operator. And against the instructions of the 911 operator, who knows best, you track the brother down and shoot him in cold blood, and then the system of racism, white supremacy does what it always does and don't even arrest him. There's a gentleman by the name of Will Smith. They call him the Fresh Prince. When that went down, he put out a tweet. Let me see if I can remember what it says. There was an incident that happened in L.A. Kim Kardashian, I believe, was coming into a restaurant. And there was this really jealous woman, jealous of Kim Kardashian. And the woman went in the restaurant and brought out a bowl full of flour and threw it on Kim Kardashian. They arrested that woman on the spot. This is what Will Smith said. But Zimmerman shoots Trayvon Martin, and you out, and they don't arrest you for 50 days? There's a problem with that. Racism, white supremacy is oiled, well-tuned, and moving forward. And then, like Neely Fuller said in his book, The Code, if you don't understand racism, white supremacy, anything that you think you understand will only confuse you. Dr. Francis Crest Wilson came behind him in the ISIS papers and laid it out and gave us a working fundamental definition of what racism, white supremacy is. And you'll hear it from our good brother Omar Abdullah Johnson. You hear it from Wally Mouquet, Bomani Baruti. You hear it from Phil Valentine. You hear it from Delbert Blair. You hear it from Booker T. Coleman. All of these brothers that's on the front line. You hear it from Arlene Bay and other brothers. But how many times are we going to just talk it, brother, and then not respond in the way that I know we need to respond? I'm just going to throw that out there and be like, there ain't nothing wrong with Zimmerman falling off the damn curb and hitting his head, right or wrong.
Right.
Ain't nobody got to say nothing.
Right.
Ain't nothing wrong with him bumping into a door at Walmart.
Right.
Or slipping on some orange juice or Kool-Aid in aisle 13 somewhere.
Right.
I wrote a letter to some brothers in prison in Florida. And I asked a few other people to write the people that they go visit and stay in contact with in Florida. Listen, man, I don't give a good goddamn, a rat's goddamn ass who hear this. I'm saying it. Professor Griff, call me on it. 678-557-2919. I wrote a letter to the brothers. I said, listen, man, that cracker cannot go to prison anywhere in Florida. Nowhere in Florida. If they find him guilty, they better ship that fucking cracker to butt scratch fucking New Zealand somewhere. You following me?
Yes.
He shouldn't be able to walk nowhere in peace. And until we do that, man, shit, man, may the earth reject my damn body.
It's not.
How long should we respond, man? Because if that was your son or my son, how long should we respond? I'm not going to no rallies, man.
Right.
Y'all that are listening to the sound of my voice, don't call me for no goddamn rally. We need to take care of the business that we know we need to take care of.
Well, I'm definitely not going to wear no Skittles box and make a 52% increased profit for Mars Incorporated, the candy company.
Exactly. Now, I'm not just using this showman sound off, bro, but I'm saying, man, I'm saying. So I talked to my two sons, who's 26 and 21, and I told them, listen, man, that couldn't be y'all laying in a morgue somewhere for 3 days, and the mom and dad don't know where the body is.
That's what Dick Gregory said
to these people. Pardon me?
I said, that's what Dick Gregory said. That's right.
Thank you. Dick Gregory said they took the organs.
That's right. They took the organs.
They took the organs of the brother, man. And we acting like that's cool. That's not cool. Mutilated the brother. Same thing they did to Sarah Barton. So guess what? So now, the Swedish minister from Sweden.
That's right. Have a cake.
Is presented with a cake of Sarah Bartman yelling and screaming as she's cutting the cake. Did you see that?
Yeah.
So we have to be wise, man, in how we deal with this thing, but we got to know and understand, man, who we dealing with, bruh.
No, you know, they done told us the devil. The Lord.
A lot of us are taking Elijah Muhammad's teaching and, we got a black African-American president. This is 2012, so we've come a long way. And when 9/11 happened, white people were friendly for about a month. I don't know. So we're living the American dream. Yeah, stop that, man. Stop that.
Hey, as Malcolm said, oh, yeah, only thing integration has given you is the ability in order to sit on the same toilet as the white man.
Thank you. Listen, man, this lifestyle that they allow us and permit us, some of us, to live should not be the thing that lulls us to sleep to the point where we start talking as if the new Black Panther Party is the culprit. The new Black Panther Party ain't the damn culprit. The new Black Panther Party was responding.
That's right.
So you got black people on Fox saying that what the new Black Panther Party did was against this terrorism act, the Patriot Act, and they should be rounded up and thrown in jail and in most cases executed. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's not wise for you to do. No one understand that the brothers and sisters in the new Black Panther Party had probably feeling a lot more sensitive than a lot of us.
Right.
And probably in some cases, they know how to respond in the way they know how to respond. We need an element like that in the black community.
That's right.
Because some of us haven't done anything.
Right.
You
want
to wear a goddamn hoodie because you got some damn white friends.
Right.
Anyway, we're going to turn the volume down.
No, we're not.
I'm telling you, man.
No, we can't turn it because, this has to be talked about and it has to be analyzed. And, you know, people just have the tendency of looking at things one-sidedly, like what you were talking about. And when Hashim the Zinger came out and he put that bounty on that cracker's head, $10,000, you know, and they wanted to up the ante on it, you know, I ain't seen nothing wrong with that because that was the whole part of why the Black Panther Party was founded in the first place, was to protect the community. And then the new Black Panther Party up under Dr. Khalid Muhammad was about the same thing. So, I mean, this is what we're supposed to be doing anyway in order to help protect ourselves, you know, because if no one, as Malcolm said, if you're not going to protect it, then we got to protect ourselves. And that's just plain and simple. And so they need to release Brother Hashim the Zinger if he's still in there. I don't know. You know, but I know the last time, last week, I know he still was. I don't know if he still is this week.
No. I understand. I'm not in that position to discuss rules, regulations, laws, and policy of the new Black Panther Party.
Right.
But me sitting back and watching what's going on, I'm noticing, man, there's different segments of our people, man. We got this bougie element, this boule-type bougie kind of element, that sit back and want to protect white people.
Yeah.
They think that the laws in America work for everyone. Stop that. The law is only as good as the people that enforce the goddamn law. And they don't enforce it when it comes to black people. So stop that. But I noticed, brother, and I'm not being disrespectful to anyone. Please don't take it that way, brothers and sisters. I'm not. But we got some people out there that only want to fucking pick berries and fucking leaves and make herbs and shit. Okay, good. Y'all go do that. But then you got some other ones that want to stay up all night and just study. And just study for the sake of studying because you want to study. Good. Y'all go do that. But you got a warrior class, man. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No doubt.
That's really sensitive. It's not going to sit back and watch people get shot down like we damn dogs. So when the warriors stand up and speak up, only thing y'all need to do, man, is give me some herbs that's going to keep me healthy.
That's right.
Pass me some information and move the fuck out of my way. I'm going to tell you straight up. Plain and simple.
No doubt about it. Exactly. Exactly. That's what I said on my Niggas Scared of Revolution. And should they be, is because I was talking about that same element, is that, yo, we got the warrior class, but, yo, these are components that, you know, you might need to know, you know, how to survive in, you know, if there's no grocery store, if there's no hospitals, you know, and so forth and so on. I mean, you know, you think that you can just go against a tank with a, you know, with a handgun, you know, nah, I mean, you got to come up with something more strategic, you know, than that. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, add in the element of the science of healing into that. You know what I'm saying? You know, these are the things that we all need to know.
But you know something, brother? More so than that, I'm speaking about the mindset
right.
of those that know the warrior class out here. Do you understand what I'm saying? And in most cases, the warrior class, we're humble. We don't kick up no dust like that because we know why we're on the planet.
No doubt.
We know once we set it off, man, it's on. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I find a lot of people suppressing the warrior spirit.
No need to.
I've heard it recently, man. It's like, oh, you're inviting him to the campus or you're inviting him? Are we talking about the same militant? Radical dude from Public Enemy, you're inviting him to come in? And say, oh. Well, let me tell you, well, I don't know, maybe kind of, and they start to figure out ways that they won't upset their slave master's children. So guess what? The white boy said, wait a minute, I'm Public Enemy's fan. You damn right we invite the white boy. The white boy said, we're going to invite him. Now, the black people are standing there looking stupid. White, young white people were raised on Public Enemy, man. They know who the hell I am. They ain't stupid.
Got
and I tell you, I say it in every lecture. Like Cat Williams said, man, everybody needs some good white friends. I got mine. I got mine. Y'all better go get yours. Shoot, I'm dead serious, man. Y'all can't get ammunition like these people can. They got some sophisticated stuff you might need to be introduced to. You better go ask your white friends.
Go to them damn knife shows if they don't know what the hell going on.
I'm not even going to go into it, Brother Aline. Y'all, they know the people that's listening to me right now, they know what I'm talking about.
Right.
But anyway, we're going to be all right. Don't worry about it. Yon Satiwa laid it out, bro. You understand what I'm saying? Steve Biko laid it out. Mau Mau laid it out.
No doubt.
They laid it out. We know exactly what we need to do, man. It's no mystery.
No, it's no mystery.
We ain't gonna talk about the plan on Blog Talk Radio, but we know it needs to be done. But anyway, what else you have on the agenda, man?
Hey, we getting ready to go to a commercial, and when we come back, we're going to try to get into some questions. I'm pretty sure you're going to have plenty. So let me go to this song, and let's see what we can do here. This is one of the songs in which that you'll probably hear me rhyming on the end of. It's called Burning Gates. It's on Classified Elements.
All right.
South Shaolin, the Classified Elements, we here now. To all you Fruit Loop, Color Candy
white peanut butter and jelly. Coon ass niggas, you best to duck and run for cover. Yeah. Into the temple gates, cross the fiery lakes, for witness to tortured souls and plant upon burning stakes. Ascend the cherubims, raising hell to reach heaven gates. Firebombing cathedrals when I switch my car to stay. Regard to animal, from animal back to God. To storm these jewels like WD Farad. To raise a nation that's indispensable, indivisible. Based on principle, relate to digital outputs to outlooks, temperatures rising. As the sun of righteousness, your spiritual guidance in the lion's den. The phoenix arrives in, spitting bars for wars to the belt of Orion. With the eyes to Hootie, these faggot devils can't fool me. The phallus gave porn and digesting the pig's booty. The sin is the wickedness, lost in the wilderness. We're never at here to this. Go ahead and slit your wrist. The black card is this. What devils try to exit, leaving their plan in crisis until destroyed by ISIS. In a pit of demons, I'm ancient Kemet dreaming, converting satanic hordes with the beta semen. Sword swinging, decapitator, addicted, crystal warm mystic, keep it glow with drinks when I'm lifted. I'm Melchizedek, moving through 50 states. Early trespagist with the gods I relate. Mental alchemist, watch love conquer hate. I emanate golden rays above my head to figure eight. I'm Melchizedek, moving through 50 states. Early trespagist with the gods I relate. Mental alchemist, watch love conquer hate. I emanate golden rays above my head to figure eight. In a devil's head, severed on a dinner plate. Before the throne of God, all devils will meet their fate. Below the mason dicks, arises the future great. Imperial, ferial, sounds and trumpets through the stereo. Murders of mice, that's why I scratch off the cereal. Reverse creation, send you back to some minerals. South Shaolin, double MC is the abbot. Morris be the nation, black man's land, we gotta have it. Restore the throne, eradicate the savage. When disaster strikes, actual facts you can't manage. A fool's on deck, sink ships like Titanic. Spreading fear across the land, causing unjustified panic. Amongst the brain dead zombies, grabbing and spits of bandits. While these wicked overseers collect residuals in their hammock. Corporate fruits forever remain rancid. Poison it to the mind, inflicting subconscious damage. I'm Melchizedek, moving through 50 states. Early transmittance with the gods I relate. Mental alchemist, watch love conquer hate. I emanate golden rays above my head to figure eight. I'm Melchizedek, moving through 50 states. Early transmittance with the gods I relate. Mental alchemist, watch love conquer hate. I emanate golden rays above my head to figure eight. Return of the ancient one, the Moorish Naga, the dragon rider, or breathing fire, generator, operator, destroyer, a self lord and master, instructor, a Kama Sutra, practicing Tantra, a Kriya Yoga, a Kutalini, the resurrector, Shishuna, the eater, Pingala, awaken the seven chakra to come to Avatar, Muhammad the conqueror, put the sword to your jugular, send you to the ether, the water, air, fire, bender, the earth ruler, usher in a new era. In the saga, eyes filled with terror, every sound of horror, reflection cracked mirrors, minds made feeble, dreams crumble, the curse tremble, thieves in the temple, raise the mental, beyond the four devils, you whack motherfuckers, you know what I'm saying, or you got them coon niggas out there, you know what I'm saying, so it's time to put that fucking rope around them goddamn throats, you know what I'm saying, cause you didn't all this goddamn hip hop, that's why hip hop dead, motherfuckers.
All right. And we back. And let's see if there's any questions. Let's see what's going on in the chat room. All right. Someone got a question about what you think about this past week of Tupac's hologram.
Yeah, I was looking at that today, man. I had mentioned Project Bluebeam. I had mentioned it in my lecture, the four P's. Pimps, politicians, preachers, president, and the pulpit. And I showed a hologram of Prince Charles and how Prince Charles was going to speak to thousands and thousands of people. And I showed the technology and how they were going to do it. And then when they said, well, Griff, okay, so what does that mean? How are we supposed to deal with that and what are we supposed to take away from it? I said, what if they told you that Jesus was coming back next Thursday at 4 o'clock? And then they showed you the hologram.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
You know how many people would drop dead, lose their minds?
Oh, yeah.
There were people that dropped dead and died in the movie theater when Mel Gibson put out The Passion of Christ.
That's right.
So can you imagine if this happens? So we have to be careful. You know, not only that, they're going to make something that's absolutely not real appear very real. And they're grooming the people now with these so-called reality shows. Because we're looking at this as though it's reality. So we have to understand this scripted reality.
All right, go into I was just saying, go into Project Bluebeam, because some of the audience members might not know, you know, what Project Bluebeam is. I know the first time I heard about it was back in 91 out of reading Behold a Pale Horse by William Bill Cooper. And in his book, he spoke about the fact that if all else fails, in order to establish a new world order, what they would do is put forth a hologram of this fake Jesus or Messiah, you know.
Right.
You know, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, no, that's it. And I think William Cooper explained, you know, that and a few other things. And, you know, they took William Cooper out of here.
That's right.
Right
after 9/11. Matter of fact, less than 2 months after 9/11, November 2001.
Right, exactly. And we have to look at this. We have to look at this and say to yourself, look, if they will take out William Cooper, who was the gentleman that uncovered the whole AIDS virus thing? Him and his brother. It'll come to me. I cannot pull it to mind. That's bad. It proved that AIDS was made in a chemical and biological warfare agent that was made in a laboratory.
Right. I know one is Jack Fielder, Dr. Jack Fielder, who was a chemist.
Jack Fielder, right. Not Fielder. This is a white guy.
Okay, a white guy.
It'll come to me in a minute. But just like him revealing certain things, they took him out of here.
Mm.
Gary Webb. Who
right.
uncovered the Iran-Contras, the scandal.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? In California, found dead at his typewriter. The microbiologist, I believe it was 22 at all, them.
Well, the count now is up to 75, brother.
Oh, I have some documents where I only got that 22 of them.
Yeah, it's up to over 75 now. Go to Stephen Quayle's website. Just put in Stephen Quayle. Q-U-A-Y-L-E, and he got a whole new list, and it's over 75.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to just put it in and just make a note of it. But, so my thing is, my point is, they'll kill their own in a heartbeat.
No doubt about it.
They don't care about that. If you're not following the agenda, they will put a bullet in you, man. Ask Reagan. Ask Kennedy boys. Do you understand what I'm saying? These people are not playing.
No doubt.
They're deadly and dead serious.
No doubt.
So if you're hearing us, if you're in the sound of our voices, put in Project Bluebeam. There's YouTube clips. There's information about Project Bluebeam. Time does not permit us to go over every single project that these people have out here that's been out here. And not only did William Cooper mention it, Jordan Maxwell mentioned it, and a few other people, Alex Jones mentioned it. There's a few other people that mentioned it. Phil Valentine mentioned, Bobby Hemmett mentioned it. So the information is out here. We just have to become avid readers once again and start writing things off as everything is a conspiracy theory. And a lot of times what black people do is, if we don't quote-unquote believe it, then we act like it's not true.
That's true. Griffin,
so,
you look at the chat room, world on
Rogers,
the website, www.stevenquayle.com. That's where you can find that information at. We also have another question. They want to know where you're going to be at in Greensboro giving your lecture, because, matter of fact, I'm going to come and check you out, too. You say you're going to be there this weekend?
This weekend in Greensboro, yeah. Greensboro, North Carolina, yeah. This Saturday. I'll put the flyer up on my Facebook page. That's Ex-Minister, X-M-I-N-I-S-T-A, and then it's Prof Griff. So the ex-minister Facebook page, I'll put it up.
Okay, okay. All right. We had another question, too. They want, wanted to know, can you speak a little bit on Rex 84 or the King Alfred plan?
Oh, yes, definitely. See, that's one of those kind of things that Steve Copley hit me to, and it's one of those things you just kind of, when you hear it, you kind of know because you've dealt with it, you argued about it, you sat in study groups with it, and it's just one of those kind of things. Well, just in a nutshell, I believe it was October 19, I believe, in 1969, an executive order, I think it was 11490. The executive order was authorized to counteract this so-called minority, which consists of blacks, Indians, Latinos, Puerto Ricans, and poor white people. In the case of the rise from under the so-called oppression, in case they rose up, these things were put in, this executive order was put in place. And they said in the event of widespread continuing and coordinated racial disturbances in the United States, that King Alfred, named after King Alfred plan, it was a plan named after King Alfred, and Rex 84, which was the Rex meaning king, at the discretion of the president, it said that they would put an action in place immediately, almost automatically. It would go into effect. Only thing they would need is a signature by the present president of the United States. But in a nutshell, here is the timetable. It says today the ratio of minority member combat deaths in Vietnam's, where they are serving as advisors. Mind you, they only said that they were sending thousands of advisors. I believe it was 25,000 advisors to Vietnam to advise. But we know what that was. So let me find the timetable of the countdown that they said it would only take 8 hours to round up all of black people in the United States. Below is the timetable for the King Alfred plan as tentatively suggested by the JCS, who recommended that the operation be made over a period of 8 hours. Now, the JCS is the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Number one, local police and minority leaders in action to head off the emergency. So the local police now are going to galvanize. The ones that are off duty are really on duty, because you know police is never off duty. Number two, countdown to 8 hours begins at the moment the president determines the emergency to be real. Shortly after that, the national, coordinated, and long duration of 8 hours are in effect at that moment right there. County police will join the local police in the seventh hour. State police join county and local police in the sixth hour. Federal marshals join state, county, and local forces in the fifth hour. National Guards federalized, that's important, listen, National Guards who are federalized, held in readiness, that's going to happen in the fourth hour. They're going to start deputizing people. Regular armed forces alerted will take positions. Minority troops divided and detained. I'm going to say that again in English. Maybe y'all need to clear your ears out for a second. Turn the TV down, turn the radio off, get your girlfriend off the phone, and listen. Regular armed forces alerted to take up positions. Listen, minority troops are divided and detained, along with all white sympathizers under guard in the third hour. White people that are listening to this, they're going to round your behind up too if you sympathize with black people. Minority troops in the armed forces are going to be divided up. Your weapons are going to be taken from you, and you're going to be detained in over the 60 concentration camps that they presently have open right here in the United States of America. And don't try to go on Google Earth and find them, because they already blocked them out. We checked. All minority leaders, national and local, detained in the second hour. President addresses the minority on radio, television, gives it 1 hour to end the emergency in the first hour, meaning he gonna go on BET, MTV, V103, and some of these other so-called black television and radio to try to appeal to black people. If that don't work, they're gonna round us up. Now listen, this is the important part. Number 10, all units under regional commands into the emergency in the 0 hour. Guess who they're calling units? Black people. They don't even consider us human beings. They're going to round us up. All of the units will be rounded up. Notice, you already, a lot of black people already live by railroad tracks. We already live in certain parts of town. They're going to quarantine us. And depending upon the number that you have on your driver's license, if you still have a driver's license, they're going to use that to quarantine you in a certain area code, then in a certain zip code. So we have to understand that's basically, in a nutshell, what the King Alpha plan was designed to do. It was designed to wrap us, round us up in about 8 hours. Now, they broke it up into regions. Capital Region 6 is the Deep South. Northeast Region number 7 is the Deep South Region 2. Southeast Region is the Great Plains Rocky Mountain Region. The Great Lakes Region is the Southwest Region. The South Central Region is the West Coast Region. They're going to round up organizations, starting with the Black Muslims. Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, which is SNCC, SNCC. Congress of Racial Equality, the Uhuru Movement. Group on Advanced Leadership. Freedom Now Party, Black United Nationalists of America, the New Pan-African Movement, Southern Christian Leadership, SCLC, the National Urban League, National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, Committee on Racial and Religious Progress. Now, these are the groups of old, but they're going to round up the new ones too, RPGs, New Black Panther Party, whatever y'all call yourselves. You understand what I'm saying? We need to read the Patriot Act and understand what the Patriot Act is talking about. But that's it to the caller or to the person that left that or in the chat room. That's just it in a nutshell. It's a lot longer than that, but that's just a brief synopsis of the King Alpha Plan, Rex 84.
Oh, yeah. He also makes the point, too, that last year during Christmas time, the highest thing sold was guns. You know? That was the most bought item during Christmas of last year were guns. And we know that that has increased since Obama has been in the administration. Let's go to the phone lines. We got area code 215. Area code 215, you're on the line.
Peace, how you doing, brother?
Peace, how
are
you?
Peace, what's good?
Peace, I just want to thank you for all the work you do. I mean, I got put on the Public Enemy when I was 14 years old. So everything that y'all taught me through the music really got me here to where I am in this part of my life, and I just wanted to personally thank you and everything that y'all contribute to hip-hop music.
Oh, give thanks. I really appreciate you, brother. I'm going to be honest with you, man. I'm 51 years old now. I got sons, two sons. I got three daughters and a granddaughter, man. It's like some of my children are even rediscovering who their dad is. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And I've been following y'all since I was in eighth grade when y'all first came out. And I mean, I used to have dreams about being an S1W when I was a kid, man.
I hear you, man. I was putting them under some serious training back then, man.
Dude, I was doing my left rights, too.
Oh, yeah. All right, good brother. I really appreciate you, man.
Take care.
All right, brother.
All right.
We got area code 614. Area code 614. You're on the line.
Peace, brother Lean. Peace, Professor Griff.
Peace. What's good, man?
What's good is a brother you see up here in Ohio, bro. Islam, Mo.
Oh, how you feel, man?
I'm good, brother. I'm good. Man, it's some very serious things going on up here in Ohio, man. Man, it's all kinds of little drills. It's all kinds of little drills is going on popping off, man, here and there. They've been lining up the police over bridges at certain times during the day, running fire trucks and ambulances up the highways and out of belts, army trucks rolling through the streets at specific times during the day, choppers flying over. Man, it's a lot going on out here.
Yeah, well, you know that was part of the plan in which that Obama signed, which was the NDAA with that.
Yeah, that's what he just signed last year, right?
Right, right. Griff, you want to say anything on that?
No, not really. I want to hear what the question that the brother had, because I think that's quite obvious. We know, because I told people from the time that he got into office what his plan was. We talked about AFRICOM and some other things that he was going to do. That fell right in line with what I've always said about Barack Obama. In my book, Analytics, I dedicated an entire chapter, one called The Obama Deception, and the 10th chapter of my book, The Psychological Covert War on Hip Hop, is dealing with Barack Obama. So, you know, I put it out there already. So, with the naysayers and with the lip service, you know, it's already out there, man.
Right, it's going down. So my biggest question is, bruh, with me being on the conscious level, dealing in the metaphysics as I am, and y'all to being the master teachers, putting out here for the masses, and it's only we're a small percentage of us that's into this. Man, what can we do for these zombies out here, man? It's like, man, they don't want nothing but the basketball wives and all this buffoonery, man, that they got us in, man. They got us so twisted, and it's so frustrating for brothers like such as myself that's coming into this, that's studying and listening to y'all brothers and learning and trying to get the word out, man. And it's like they throwing egg in your face left and right out here, man. Our people on the lower street level, bruh, they ain't trying to hear nothing we talking about.
Well, my thing is the good thing about this, no one's gonna be able to sit on the sideline with their hula hoops with their cheerleading skirts on. You follow me?
Yeah, I follow you.
The revolution, everyone's involved in the revolution. There's no sitting on the side because they're gonna come and get you regardless.
Without a doubt.
That's how we have to deal with it. And the only thing that we can do, girlfriends, wives, sisters, brothers, cousins, homies, only thing we can do is warn them, man. Pull their coat, drop something on them, and keep pushing, bro. Everybody ain't gonna make it. I'm gonna just tell you clearly. I know that's harsh, but everybody ain't gonna make it, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know how many people I've been trying to get to wake up all these years, man? And they, my own children, man. You understand
right.
What I'm saying? Like, Dad, I didn't even know. You understand what I'm saying? I see you every day, and I ain't realize yada yada yada. Whoop be whoop, and I'm like, all right. Every blade
right.
of grass is not gonna grow at the same rate, man. You may wake up today, it may take some people years to wake up, but guess what? Some people may never wake up.
Right. Right.
Only thing we can do is throw them a life raft, man, and say, here you go. It's up to them to get in, man.
Most definitely. Definitely, bro. That's what it do.
There's some people right now that refuse to put on a hoodie and send a damn note on Facebook or through their email because they kind of figure somebody might come after them. But they won't move until it's their stunt. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So my thing is this, and I've said this loud and clear, and I'm going to say it again on this radio program. You touch one, you touch all. I'm going to say it one more time, man. Touch one, you touch all. And if that is not the spirit of our people, then they go forever do what they did to Trayvon Martin.
Without a doubt.
Babe, I really appreciate you, good brother.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate both of y'all, man. I'm listening. I'm here. I'm learning. You know what I'm saying? Growing and building. No, we out here. That's all I got to say.
No doubt, Og. No doubt. We appreciate you listening, too.
Most definitely. Always well, bro.
All right. Appreciate you, Og.
Peace.
All right, yeah. Before we get to the next caller, there was something in which that was definitely put into the chat room that we need to talk about. It was about, I was listening to the WRPN News recently, which is World Press, basically, as far as the newspaper is concerned. It was talking about the United States government, in particular, the Department of Homeland Security has purchased 450 million rounds of ammo, hollow point, bulletproof vests, you know. So I just wanted to add that in there, too. You know, why... Yeah. Purchase 450 million rounds of ammo. Hollow points at that. You know, if some say that it's just because they're going to practice. We'll see what's going on. But we're gonna get to this caller, area code 786. 786, you're on the line. Peace.
Peace, can you hear me?
Yes, we can, brother. How are you?
Everything good. Peace and honor to you, Brother Aleem, and to your distinguished guest, Professor Griff. Brother, what's your thoughts, the way we're looking at this thing, that this definitely was a good possibility of an attempt, a subtle attempt, to try to cause, as the people here in the Northern Hemisphere, the Northwest Hemisphere, a Mexican, to possibly rise up and then do something foolish, which would be probably detrimental, but at least we would take a stand on causing a so-called race war behind this tragedy that our beloved brother Trayvon Martin suffered. And, you know, compounded with, like what you just mentioned about Rex 84, and also, too, with the schedule, Planet X that's on schedule to come through, you know, that's compounded. And what would be your contingency plan or idea or some suggestions and advice, brother, on that situation?
I really would love to get into that, but I can't give the plan on Blog Talk Radio. Beautiful question, yeah. Man. I can't give the plan away, bro.
In general.
Yeah, right. Nah, I don't think so. Call me, bro. Yeah, call me. I can't answer that question in general. I would say we need to get some push-ups, get your spirit right. You understand what I'm saying? Go to some preparedness meetings. Contact some of your good white friends. You understand what I'm saying? Hell, if you can't fill a backpack, I said this all last year, man. Everyone should have this thing I call the black pack. Get a duffel bag from there at Walmart and go to the preparedness meetings and fill that backpack up with everything that you're going to need to last for about 2 weeks. Be able to at least do lift as much weight as you need to be able to carry your own weight. Right?
Okay.
Come up with some kind of plan for your family. A contingency plan of your own, just your family. So we have to at least do some basic stuff. Be able to survive without food for at least 3 days. We can't do it. Some of us eat meals a day and can't even miss a damn meal. Some of us walk up a flight of stairs and out of breath. Some of us still eating pig. So we have to at least be healthy. Healthy enough to be able to survive under what we're about to go through, man. You understand what I'm saying? It ain't hard to tell. We can look at recent history and see what some other people have been through. That's what's coming down the pipe. But that's about as general as I can speak, good brother. And it's just a beautiful question. And the brother's absolutely on it, man. And it should be answered, not only by me, by some other people that are out there that are speaking. Matter of fact, good brother, everyone should be able to answer that question. Put it that way.
Okay, brother. What's that? Not to be redundant, but what's that? What's your number again? We can get that number.
My phone number is 678-557-2919.
Okay.
My email address is professorgriffpe@gmail.com. professorgriffpe@gmail.com. I really appreciate
you,
man.
We appreciate you too coming on and you know, sharing that knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, and overstanding.
Well, give thanks.
Peace out.
We need brothers. We need brothers like that, because as quiet as it kept, brothers like that that really understand what needs to take place right about now.
No doubt about it.
All this talking tough on the internet, and we ain't got plan the first, man.
I agree.
Come on, man. If I'm 51 and I can lift my own body weight and I'm doing one-arm push-ups, you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Can go 2 or 3 days without food. You know, no first aid. It's just basic stuff that you need to know.
Right.
Come on. come on, man. That's some basic stuff. Come on. Seriously.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man. All black people, we should just have this boot camp we need to go through and learn to train ourselves. All the organization. I don't care what you belong to.
I agree. I mean, each organization has a task force, you know, anyway. So we should be doing the same thing. Each, to me,
right.
This is what I said in one of my lectures, too, is that if we have enough, if we look at this holistically, you know, we have enough in order to actually to form fronts on each of the battle fronts in which that Dr. Nellie Fuller and Francis Quest Wilson actually spoke about, whether it's religion, labor, war, economics, politics, you know, whatever the case may be, we have enough organizations in order to handle each of those. And if we come together and form a think tank amongst ourselves, you know, and do what we need to do, you know what I'm saying, we wouldn't be going through these situations that we're going through right now. Best believe that.
Right, exactly. So listen, I got 15 more minutes, all
right? Right.
All right.
You got 804 on the line. You're on the line. Peace.
Peace, Brother Aleem and Brother Professor Griff.
Peace.
I want to ask both of y'all. Have y'all heard about Geithner getting arrested and George Bush and Bill Gates?
Yeah.
Timothy Geithner?
I heard about it.
Yes.
Right. I heard about it that they got arrested last month sometime. You know. But, you know, the only thing they ever do to Timothy Geithner is put his behind under house arrest because he's basically is like them having to atone for the crimes of Henry Paulson and John Snow, you know, who's the last Secretary of Treasurers, you know. And, you know, and but, I mean, what was also reported on WRPN News is that 1900 bankers was also
yeah.
You know, so... there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes too for I think it has something, you know, basically to do with the stimulus program and plan and a lot of that misappropriation of funds and monies.
Right.
Yeah, but you gotta understand some of that, brother, when they say arrest when it comes to them, it don't mean the same arrest if they arrest you or me. So you following me?
Yeah. Now, they you familiar with Benjamin Fullfoot?
Oh, yeah. Somebody just hit me to him like a couple of months ago.
Yeah, he been on a paper trail, and he been discovering a lot of stuff, exposing a lot of stuff now. There's been a lot of fighting and heavy infighting within the Pentagon. And
right.
This NDAA, right? They saying that it's not for the private citizens of the United States. It's for these people that was involved, involved in this AIG bailout stuff, and that they targeting in the G5 nations. That's where they at. And there's been a whole lot of stuff. Brother Aleem, you can do a show on that. I would like for y'all to just, you know, go in on that and you know, decode everything, and you know.
Yeah, Do me a favor, good brother. Give the people his name again. It's Benjamin Fulford, right?
Right. And also...
You have it in front of you? Can you spell it so the people can Google his name so they can know exactly what you're talking about?
Okay. Well, you can pull him up on YouTube. It's Benjamin Fulford. Ford.
Right.
And it's this dude named Drake. He was a military boy, Vietnam veteran, and he was recruited into this program to look at this document where they was putting it together back in 1978. He was saying how they used to go and tweak it, go back to it, and you know, subtract and take from it, how to deal with these people when they, you know, ready to snatch him up. But they made a joke out of Geithner. They said, in most cases, we have to beat a guy to get information out of him. But in Geithner's case, we had to beat him to shut him up. And they said that George Bush told on Gates and everything.
Right.
But this is a lot of infighting with them, you know, a lot of them jumping ship, like you said, 1900, done left. But this military dude, like I was saying, Drake, he's part of it. He was saying that these people, they not organized, you know, but it's a whole bunch of them. It's a whole bunch of them. And when they they get all on. So
it's very important that you mention that, just because a lot of us automatically think that, you know, all white people are down with one particular plan.
Right.
And this is why Dr. Francis Cress Wilson's work is so important, because on a subconscious level, they want to survive genetically. And a lot of them have a lot of infighting going on, but they'll never let us know. You understand what I'm saying? Right. Until a brother like you call in and give us the information and where to go look for this stuff. We really appreciate you, good brother.
Now you can look up freedomreigns.com. Let me see. Freedomreigns.com. That's F. Let me see here. That's F R E E D O M R E I G N S. And you can get with Mr. Drake recordings on that.
Right.
Take you a little further into it, you know.
Okay,
he's been giving interviews and everything.
All right.
So I thought I'd add on with that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we really appreciate you, man.
All right. Peace.
Peace out.
All right, peace.
All right, Doc, any closing words before you go here? Anything you want to build on?
Yeah, I just want to let the people on. Well, thank you, of course, and your mate. Really appreciate you having me on for these couple of hours. Let me just give the people my information, man, because there's a lot that, you know, I wanted to talk about, but I guess everything happens in divine order. We talked about what we needed to talk about. So my phone number is 678-557-2919. My email address is professorgriff@pe@gmail.com. My website is www.pgriff.info. And the titles of my books, Analytics, 20 Years of Interviews and Conversations with Minister of Information, Public Enemy, Professor Griff, and my other book is The Psychological Covert War on Hip-Hop, The Illuminati's Takeover of Hip-Hop. Check out my Facebook page at Ex-Minister Prof. Griff. I'm going to post the flyer for the next few events that are coming up in Greensboro this Saturday. I'll be speaking at the Slave Theater next week, man, for Automatics, his wife. I'm going to be dealing with Illuminology, the whole idea of these culture bandits coming in, and we're going to expose the culture bandits, and we're going to actually redefine and take back some of these signs and sacred signs and symbols and press the cultural reset button to restore hip-hop to its Black African cultural roots. So, yeah, man, those are some of the things, you know, that I'm doing. I'm in the middle of these two Public Enemy albums. I got to get ready to go to the studio in a minute, man. I really appreciate you. Once again, if you just want to go on PayPal to order my book, Analytics, for the 7th Octave at gmail.com. That's number 7, T-H-O-C-T-A-V-E at Gmail. If you want to order The Psychological Covert War on Hip-Hop Dealing with the Illuminati, go to PayPal and order it. It's pcwhiphop@gmail.com. Analytics is $20, and Psychological Covert War is $25. All right, you're doing it from PayPal. Really appreciate you, Brother Eileen. We got to hook up once again. I was just with Booker T. Coleman. Last time in Baltimore, I was with Umar Abdullah Johnson. In Atlanta, I was with Umar Abdullah Johnson. I did Kentucky with Black Dot. Hopefully, May, I'll be hooking up with SETI to do a lecture together in Atlanta. And I'm doing this on purpose to let all the conscious community know, man, we got to start loking and linking up. You understand what I'm saying? This petty bickering and arguing over Facebook and YouTube and all this kind of stuff has to cease, man. We need to start building character in one another, as you and I talked about, Aline.
I agree.
Start building character in one another. A conversation that I had with Professor James Smalls and a conversation what I had that I had with Wally Mukeba Mani Baruti at the release of his book, The Iwa, which is Warrior Characters and Warriors, man. Let's start building character. It's cool that you know you got a whole lot. We got a whole lot of information, but if we don't have any character, and we don't love our people, what good is it? You understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
So we have to start building character. Once again, man, I really appreciate you. You know, as I always depart, man, I always say revolution is not an event; it's a process. But I want to lead this conversation in the good words of our good brother Don Cornelius. I think if I could get it right, man, he says, thanks for tuning in once again this week. And in parting, we always wish you love, peace, and soul. All right.
Appreciate you.
All right. Peace.
Deadly, supremely intelligent. Your inkling of truth where all else irrelevant. Often underdevelopment, arrest development. The principle to the perception of who's running shit. The intangible elephant, forever present. Internal illumination, shining bright as fluorescent. Light from above, more like heaven's light from above. Or just sequence, sparkling from Michael Jackson's glove. You the prophets, with garments dipped in blood. Mind the vessels, and prepare for the flood. We lit shots like the scud. To leave comp dead in mud, closing in on parameters until there's nowhere to run. Never mind your gun, under the rays of the sun. Out of a million, double MC is the one to which the foul and flagrant. Never ever one come unless their headstone is already chosen, son. I traveled a million miles, still I search myself without diamonds and gold. Still I erase myself through chance and own. I will heal myself until my physical's gone, with no breath left. I traveled a million miles, still I search myself without diamonds and gold. Still I enrich myself through chance and own. I will heal myself until my physical's gone, with no breath left.
Death seems inevitable, the body's material, the inner, the physical, the mind's intangible, it dwells on the astral, the soul is immortal, come into the portal, the mystery unfolds, be the holy soul, from whom the bell tolls, unclassified elements absorb chi through melanin, until we ethereal wrapped in the wings that heal us, a magnificent glow for unconditional love, scattered rays for days from the heavens above, but below the soul takes control of flesh, on a 7-day from the emotional stress, beyond this worldly test, ancestors blessed.
I traveled a million miles, still I search myself without diamonds and gold. Still I enrich myself through chance and own. I will heal myself until my physical's gone, with no breath left. I traveled a million miles, still I search myself without diamonds and gold. Still I enrich myself through chance and own. I will heal myself until my physical's gone, with no breath left. 20 sets of sand for 40 days and 40 nights, putting fire to the soul to watch the phoenix take flight. Shining light into your darkest night, you stand so bright. Leaving snakes in the belly until my sword takes light. And all that's left to roar, my mind stay right. A love giving a fight, rather through breath or blood. You warriors are drums, let them rhythms run. Rebels with infinite bars, the infinite wisdom. Bring corn to hell, fire, put flames to the kingdoms. As the cities burn, tell me who can redeem them. Those parted from their material. Your riches shall be cracked up, bruised and left in bloody stitches, defenseless of those who are senseless, submerged into realms of ignorance and nonsense. Continuously they close the eye to the conscience, blindly they proceed to live a life unjust. I traveled a million miles, still I search myself without diamonds and gold. Still I enrich myself through chance and own. I will heal myself until my physical's gone, with no breath left. I traveled a million miles, still I search myself without diamonds and gold. Still I enrich myself through chance and own. I will heal myself until my physical's gone, with no breath left.
want a queen on every continent, so I could escape the government, flee my residence, settle in, I'm militant minded, brilliant rhyme wins, the time is now for me to shine, kids are innocent, blinded, society, gotta be reminded of my diary, cause tragically, I carry the misery of centuries, that sent to me, not coincidentally, intentionally, cause mentally, I represent the key, but it's a double-edged sword, she trying to be godly, it's hard, especially in poverty's backyard, where violence is taking over, free enterprise and lies is idolized, cause you're deep inside, without a law, go to Jehovah, to God. The lost tribe, you're forced to reside on the north side. Babylon is never penalized for being offside. So many lost lives. I wonder how long before the herd died. Today I heard the earth cry for the first time. It was the worst time. It was the worst time. The way I heard the earth cry.
I came to the shores of America. The sky, the propeller, the Alpha and Omega, and the home of the beggars, the black settlers who've been beaten, raped, lynched, robbed, and stoned, and called upon the urban service so they couldn't maintain it at home. This dates back to 1555 when they captured the first tribe of men and piled them in a pen 50 feet high and took them all on a 9,000 mile ride and landed on the shore of a place they'd never seen before. We read about this inside the ancient books of war. Finders in stainless steel stripped of their language, still survived the anguish of slavery but still remain nameless. Separated to portions and tricked by John Horty Hawkins and sold on the auction, taught birth control and abortion. Rulers of the first part became slaves of the worst part. The devil's curse God and reverse God. They turned God to dog and made people search hard. No relief came to the prophet by W.D. Farrar. Taught trauma, dropped our mamas off in Bahamas and Barbados, Tobagos. Separated us from slave boats. Made our own brothers hate us. From Virgin Isles to Jamaica, Trinidad, Honduras, Haiti, Grenada, Bermuda to Cayman. Mental enslavement, these black gods
become awakened. At night time, you can hear the earth cry. How many more black gods gotta die? When we realize there's no God in the sky. The devil tricked us, that's the worst lie. At night time, you can hear the earth cry. How many more black gods gotta die? You realize there's no God in the sky. The devil tricked us, that's the worst lie.
Peace, God, for real, not a spook nor a ghost. Not unseen, but seen and heard most of all. I'm God, control nine planets. Wisdom revolves around me, understanding. Science, my rhymes underrated. Pyramids building according to how we made it to be. Many shall come, few shall be chosen. 32 degrees below zero when you're frozen. Power of refinement, my rhymes assignment is to crush. Negative bullshit in the line with the fusion. Cause that which is beyond 360 degrees is an illusion. Either you're deaf, dumb, or blind. Super hypocritical, dumb, 85, yo, it's time. See, I without me don't exist. God type of love divine is what I miss. Checking like a visual reflection, sort of supernatural. You know your mind, our text is being natural. Ultra gamma, the hammers, my energy compressed to a form of a threat for my enemy. Life is a circle that consists of a whole. No beginning, no end, no size, it's just a whole. Like in an event, I'm a percent. Dealt out 100, I'm 5, my degree is a black belt. Real, genuine, not authentic. Older than the sun, moon, and stars are precedented. In North America, success can be won. As a game, and knowledge, understanding, still one of the same greatest rewards. Known to mankind, that winners never quit, and quitters never win in the mind. But in time, my degrees are getting deeper. Thicker in the subconscious state of the sleeper. At nighttime, I can hear the earth cry. Wonder how many black dogs gotta die. At nighttime, I can hear the earth cry. I wonder how many black gods must die. At nighttime, I can hear the earth cry. I wonder how many black gods must die. At nighttime, I can hear the earth cry. I hear a cry to the earth. I cry.
Like they had
see the young goods hanging out at the store. 24/7 junkies looking for a hit of the blow. It's powerful. Oh, you know what else they trying to do? Make a curfew, especially for me and you. The traces of the new world order. Time is getting shorter. If we don't get prepared, people, it's gonna be a soda. My mind won't allow me to not be curious. My folks don't understand, so they don't take it serious. But every now and then, I wonder if the gate was put up to keep climbing.
Little nigga, I'm talking to you about what your little ass need to be going through. I fall a victim too, and I know I shouldn't smoke so much, but I do. With the crew every day on the average, drop over five. I'm looking to be alive and survive. I don't realize the cost after I lost my best friend, Bean. I recognize as a king. Who am I to tell you to stop smoking? Now you overtook disease and cold, and ain't 16 years old. This shit has got to stop. Let's take a walk through the top. I'm out of this hole. I'm in the cell under attack. Look up, folks, they in the hood. Got an eye on every move I make. Open your face to info. You would know, cause it's a flow. Hot, the new world plan. Reach the planet without the black
so
man.
So what's your aim? Try to separate me from the blood of disrespect. Like coming in my home and not wiping your feet on the rug. The citron absolute has got me bucking no hand with no phone. Look out for the man with the mask.